Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 50. Nakulasahadevascha Yudano Dananjaya Bhagavan Devaki Putra Yechanye Yascha Yoshitaha Nakula Sahadevascha Yuyudano Dananjaya Bhagavan Devaki Putra Yechanye Yascha Yoshitaha Nakula Sahadevascha Yuyudano Dananjaya Bhagavan Devaki Putra Yechanye Yascha Yoshitaha Nakula Nakula Sahadeva Sahadeva Cha and Yuyudana Satyaki Dananjaya Arjuna Bhagavan Personality of Godhead. Devaki Putra, the son of Devaki, Lord Sri Krishna. Ye, those. Cha, and. Anye, others. Ya, those. Cha, and. Yoshitaha, ladies. Translation. Nakula and Sahadev, the younger brothers of the king, and also Satyaki, Arjuna, and the personality of God, Lord Sri Krishna, son of Devaki, and the ladies and others, all unanimously agreed with the king. I'll read through a few shlokas. Tatraha mashito bhimas tasyastrayan vadasmita na bhatu natmanaschate yohan suktam chishun vita. Translation. Bhima, however, disagreed with them and recommended killing this culprit who, in an angry mood, had murdered sleeping children for no purpose and for neither his nor his master's interest. Text 52. Nishamya bhima gaditam dropadyascha chatu buja alokya vadanam sakyo idam aha asan iva. Translation. Chatubuja, the forearmed one, or the personality of God, after hearing the words of Bhima, Draupadi and others, saw the face of his dear friend Arjuna, and he began to speak as if smiling. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna had two arms, and why he is designated as forearm is explained by Sridharaswami. Both Bhima and Draupadi held opposite views about killing Ashwatthama. Bhima wanted him to be immediately killed, whereas Draupadi wanted to save him. You can imagine Bhima ready to kill while Draupadi is obstructing him. And in order to prevent both of them, the Lord discovered another two arms. Originally, the primeval Lord Sri Krishna displays only two arms, but in his Narayana feature, he exhibits four. In his Narayana feature, he resides with his devotees in the Vaikuntha planets, while in his original Sri Krishna feature, he resides in the Krishna planet, far, far above the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky. Therefore, if Sri Krishna is called Chaturbhuja, there is no contradiction. If need be, he can display hundreds of arms as he exhibited in his Vishwarupa shown to Arjuna. Therefore, one who can display hundreds and thousands of arms can also manifest four whenever needed. When Arjuna was perplexed about what to do with Ashwatthama, Lord Sri Krishna, as a very dear friend of Arjuna, voluntarily took up the matter just to make a solution, and he was smiling also. Nishamya bhima gatidam. Tropadyascha Chatubhuja. Alokya Varanam Sakyu Inam Aha Asan Iva. Chatubhuja, the forearm one, or the personality of God, after hearing the words of Bhima, Draupadi and others, saw the face of his dear friend Arjuna, and began to speak as if smiling. The son of Drona punished. So it's a very difficult situation that here we have Ashwatthama, who performed a heinous act, killing the sons of Draupadi while they were asleep, and wanted to kill everyone. Sent the Brahmastra weapon, Arjuna had to release another Brahmastra and recall both of them. So Ashwatthama, of course, he was very angry that his father, Dronacharya, was killed duplicitously by Drishtadyumna. He came while Dronacharya was in the sitting in the chariot and put down the weapons. But of course Dronacharya could only be killed in that way. So these are the intrigues of battle, of war, all sorts of things are done. Generally war is to be averted at all costs. Only as a last resort, if there's an aggressor, then someone comes with an army, invades, cruelly kills, so on and so forth, then of course army is needed for protection. We would like to have a world with no need of army or no need of police, but unfortunately in Kali Yuga that's not going to be possible, because there is always going to be the criminal element. And there's always going to be aggressors, especially in Kali Yuga. Even in the other ages, we have examples, but in Kali Yuga, it'll be the whole atmosphere will be just aggression and disharmony, violence, and so on and so forth. So now it will become worse. We've seen the violence level has increased on so many levels. Before, even when I was growing up as a boy, actually, quite often the door was left open in the house. Even not so long ago, I remember going to New Zealand, and everyone left, even in the cities, they left their door open, and people were very trusting, and so on and so forth. But now, you can't do like that. The criminals, and no one has a proper culture. I remember one time in Prabhupada was walking in Mayapur with his disciples. He was walking in the fields, in the rice fields near next door to Mayapur, and as he was walking, one farmer came and paid his obeisances to Prabhupada and touched his feet. So Prabhupada said, "See this man. This is his land. We are walking his land." I've told this story a few times before. It's just a good story. He said, "We are walking his land. And here, but still, he is a simple farmer, but he knows that here is a sadhu. Here is the sadhus. So he feels very fortunate that we are walking on his land. And but if I were to, in your country," Prabhupada said, "if I were to walk on your land or someone's land, they would come with a gun." "What are you doing here? Get out from here." They would come with a gun. And even another time I remember where Prabhupada was in Mumbai, and he was coming from the temple, and then he went to his ambassador car. And there was Sridhar Kiri was his servant, and Prabhupada was sitting in the back, and Shamasundar, his secretary, got in the front to drive the ambassador car. In those days in India, every car was ambassador car. Now in India you have many different types of cars, but in those days every car was ambassador. You didn't have other type of car practically. Maybe there's a few Tatas or something like that, but practically every car was ambassador car. Those who are older from India, they know. And every year there was a different ambassador, Mark 1, Mark 2, but actually it was the same car. For 50 years it was going on. They made a lot of money. They didn't have to change anything. It's the same card. Maybe they put some different light on the front or something. Put a Mark II on the back or something like that. And just a slight difference. So every car was ambassador. So Prabhupada got in the car. And Chandrasundar was in the front. He was turning the key, but nothing. What is the difficulty? Prabhupada, there's something wrong. It won't start. Oh, let me go get someone to help. So he went out. And then in the meantime, two Indian gentlemen came to the window and were talking to Prabhupada in Hindi. And so after some time, Sri Dakini said to Prabhupada, what are they saying, Prabhupada? So they're offering to take us anywhere in the city. Wherever we want to go, because they see we are the sadhus, they are offering to take us anywhere we want to go. He said, actually, this is their car. This is their car. We got in, our car is the next one. We got in, because all ambassadors look the same and same color. We actually got in the wrong car. And that's why when he was turning the it didn't start. The key fit, but it wouldn't turn them off. So this is their car, but they are such gentlemen. They see the sadhus are sitting in their car. And they said, and I said, no, I was apologizing. I was sorry, we made a mistake. And I was apologizing. He said, no, Swamiji, no. We have the privilege, we are honored that you are sitting in our car. And we are wherever you want to go in the city. No, you are a businessman, you are very busy. No, no problem. We will drive. Now, Prabhupada said the same thing. If I went in your country and got in your car, someone would come with a gun. So get out from this car. Right? Even if you look at someone else's car, what are you looking at? Right? So, but this is the difference in culture, education, and people would treat others with respect and so on. So this is due to culture and education. But now in the Kali Yuga, there's no culture, there's no proper education. So therefore, there's a disrespect, there's a disagreement, there's a disharmony, there'll be a lot of violence. And unfortunately, quite often violence is the first resort. The first resort. If you can't, if you disagree, immediately violence. Physical violence. Of course, even today, there's attempt to try to resolve differences, not by immediate violence, by diplomacy, by discussion, and so on and so forth. Some people, of course, resolve the issues, but there will always be an element, and that element is growing more and more in the Kali Yuga. The element of criminal, of violence, and so on and so forth. So there will always be a need of police. There will always be need of army and all these things, because someone may come to invade, may kill. So imagine we may complain about police, and sometimes police overstep their mark. But imagine if no police, then what will happen? Anyone can come to your house, and they will come to your house and break in. Already you read so many instances, what do they call it now, some big fancy name, home invasion. There's the home invasion. They come in your, it's not exactly an invasion, I guess it's a small invasion. But a home invasion, and they break into your house and so on and so forth. So imagine if there's no police. Do you think that will increase or decrease? It will increase. So you need, but police have to be good. Just right, and they actually, if the police were devotees, we have many devotees in the world. They are police. in this country, up north we had a few devotees. They are police up north. I remember one. There was one sergeant up in where was he? He was up in Mackay, I think. He was not an initiated devotee, but he was a devotee. I don't know what he's doing now. I think he went into some other area. Then there was a lady. She was the sister of a devotee. One night we were driving from Brisbane, and they have these breathalyzers, and they pull over all the cars. So then the police came to them. When she came, oh, Haribol! Sorry, we have to do this to everyone. So she took the devotees of Tesco, so we're not non-drinkers. So it wasn't a problem. But she said, "Hari Bol." And so many security, you know, we have in Indonesia, so many devotees, police. In Lombok, we have quite a few. One big sergeant in charge of the local in Mathura. He goes and he organizes the police to come with the Rath Yatra every year. I remember one time I was sitting in a giving a lecture, and then after that there was all these men with mustaches sitting taking the prasad. About six of them. I said, "Who are these men? New people?" No, they're devotees. I said, "They're policemen." They're police. Because they're devotees. They got the mustaches and everything. So they're police, but they're devotees. Just recently I went to an airport. It was actually, devotees brought me to Hawaii last year for a preaching tour. So then on the way out, the security, you know, the ones with the security, they scan you like that. And I was going through and they said, "Hari Bol, Maharaj, how are you?" A devotee. So devotees can be in all these positions. It doesn't matter. Only devotees can only be doing certain activities. Devotees can be in all these positions. So Arjuna, of course, a great devotee. Imagine if we had Yudhisthira as the emperor. Mm-hmm. Arjuna was the commander. Well, that would be a world, wouldn't it? And Bhimsena was there. Yeah, imagine if you had your brother was Bhimsena. No one would do anything to you. You know, someone would come up, "Oh, you," and then Bhimsena come there. So Bhimsena, we see here, Bhimsena, he was angry. He wanted to, he must be killed. This Ashvatthama, yes, he's a Brahmana, a son of Dronacharya, yes, he was our teacher, but look what he's done. So there's all sorts of arguments can be there. And Bhimsena, what Bhimsena, what, how he was speaking, and he was giving example, and if you read in Mahabharata, this is explained a little bit more elaborately, that he was quoting the various Shastras also. Krishna also earlier, he also advocated. Arjuna was a bit reluctant. He, you know, although he had promised, he had promised Draupadi that I'll bring you the head of the culprit, right? Who killed your sleeping sons, you know, he made that promise to Draupadi. And but still, when he actually captured Ashvatthama, still he was a bit, because Ashvatthama, Brahmana, son of Dronacharya, who was his teacher, imagine the position Arjuna was in. So he was hesitant. He thought that he should be punished, but killed. He was a bit, but Krishna, Bhimsena, and they gave him Krishna and gave so much. Now it's mentioned earlier by Prabhupada that now Krishna took the strong position just to Prabhupada put it this way, just to magnify the sense of duty of Arjuna. Sometimes Krishna puts devotees in difficult situations. Just to show how the devotees react to that. And Prabhupada mentions that the pure devotees always come out successful. Pure devotees always come out successful in these, because they're put to the test. They're actually empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to pass the test. But not only that, they themselves, such great devotees that they will easily pass it, just like Prahlad Maharaj, Haridas Thakur. I was giving a class in Sydney, on the same theme as, devotees being put into difficulty. And one might think that why would Krishna, put such great devotees into such trouble? I've had many times devotees come to me, Swamiji, I did all the nice things. I organized the program for the devotees, and now I've lost my job. Why did Krishna do this to me? And then another one was that he was on the ferry. Someone was on.
on the ferry in, where was it? Some place in that. But I think it was in Burma. I think he was in Cambodia. He was on the ferry, and there was some big explosion on the ferry, and everyone's people were killed, and he was thrown in the water, got burnt, and everything like that. Oh, I'm a devotee. Why did Krishna do this to me? So devotees think like that. Why is Krishna doing? Krishna has his plan for all of us, and sometimes he puts us to the test, and just like he put Prahlad Maharaj, put Haridas Thakur. Why would Krishna have Haridas Thakur beaten in 22 markup, not just once or twice, but beaten severely? Why would he do that? He's such a great devotee. Doesn't God protect these devotees? Why? Now we know that in the case of Haridas Thakur, he actually, he mentioned later on when he was thrown into the Ganga that he feigned his own death. He went into some trance and just everyone was thinking, oh, he is dead, throw him in the Ganga. And then he came out and he went to see Lord Chaitanya. He said, when I was getting beat, I didn't feel anything. And Lord Chaitanya turned and showed his back. Yes, that's because I took the beating. I took the beating. Even as mentioned in one Purana that when Hiranyakashipu was on the lap of Lord Nrisimhadev. Now, Hiranyakashipu was a big asura in that life. And he tried to kill his own son Prahlad Maharaj. But of course, before that, he was the giant Vijay, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and now they have to come as the demons. And when he was put on the lap and he was being torn asunder, you know that painting of Lord Nrisimhadev tearing asunder the Hiranyakashipu. Oh, very gory thing, blood and intestines. But actually, he's mentioned in one Purana that when Hiranyakashipu went on the lap, he was at that point. He remembered everything of the former life. And he was feeling great bliss to be in the lap of Lord Nrisimhadev. He didn't feel a thing. He didn't feel a thing. It was all going on, but somehow or other, he didn't feel a thing. He mentioned one of the Puranas. He was feeling very happy. He was looking up at the lotus face of the Lord, and at that point, as soon as he was touched by the Lord and placed on the lap, and everything came back to him. You know, by Krishna's will, and all the memory of the how they were Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha with Jaya and Vijaya, they were taken away. But at that point, he didn't feel. So we know with the Pandavas themselves, they were placed into so much difficulty. Lost the kingdom and so many intrigues, and Bhima was poisoned, the house was set on fire, and all these things, banished into exile, in wandering in the forest, and so many difficulties. Well, then someone may say, why would Krishna do that to such great devotees? Why he had them exiled? Why they lost their house? they lost more than the house, lost the whole kingdom. But someone may think the same thing, that they are devotee. I lost my house. Why did Krishna do this to me? But do you find that Prahlad Maharaj was complaining? Or do you find Haridas Thakur, did he complain? Haridas Thakur, or did the Pandavas, did you find them complaining, blaming Krishna? Why did Krishna do this to us? No, they actually, Queen Kunti and Draupadi, they are praying. Actually, we found that when we were in this position, we thought of you more. So that is our benefit. We thought of you more. Maybe some things are needed to bring you more. Now, it's up to you whether you come closer or not closer. But as I said, Prabhupada explains that the pure devotee will always come out successful. The pure devotee will always come closer to Krishna. Now, if someone's not pure devotee, you may not come closer to Krishna. Pass the test so well. Alright, didn't pass this test so well, but Krishna's still looking after you. Alright, let's try something else. Maybe I have to offer the rose now. sometimes Krishna's can be strong like the thunderbolt or soft like the rocks. So the whole plan for him is to bring you closer spiritually. After all, the body is temporary. Your possessions are temporary. We become very attached to these things and think them all in all. And therefore, when something goes wrong, well, why did Krishna do this to us? But that's just our attachment and our identification. Krishna takes care of his devotees as far as possible in the world, but his primary concern is to look after the devotees spiritually and bring them closer. So if in doing that, Krishna needs to take away some things, sometimes he can give some things, or if Krishna feels, well, in this circumstance, I need to take away something, or I need to create some difficulty material, then that is Krishna in his supreme position and deep understanding and his feelings of benevolence, and he's always the well-wisher, he is making arrangement. And then when that arrangement, he sees how that arrangement, then he adjusts according to the individual. And there can be so many people involved also. So we should, before we come to a conclusion, we become angry at Krishna. We blame Krishna. We should try to think very carefully the different situations. Of course, we are not Krishna, so we don't know exactly why Krishna is doing something, what are all the different reasons. See, this is the position of a devotee. It's not that we can, if Krishna so desires, we can understand why he is doing something, but maybe we don't understand. But if one is actually a true devotee, he will just accept it. So in this particular situation, we have Bhimsen, Krishna saying, kill this Ashwatthama. Now we have a Draupadi saying, don't. Now that's a very amazing thing, Draupadi. She's a very great lady because, it was her sons that were killed. Right? Her sons. For a mother to lose the son, she was the mother of all the sons. And, of course, the Pandavas, they had one son. But she was the mother of all of them. And all of them were killed. So what was her position? And for her to be so, to be willing to be so forgiving, and to consider the position of Ashwatthama after he just killed the son, that's a very amazing thing. This shows the nature of Draupadi, how advanced he was spiritually, actually, and on all levels, spiritually, emotionally, as far as her feeling, her understanding of religiosity, all these things, on so many levels, she's very, very advanced. Very, very advanced personality. She surrendered to Krishna formally, when she was being disrobed, totally just surrendered. So she was saying, then now Yudhisthira, he is agreeing with her. He is agreeing. Now the king, of course, he's very just. Yudhisthira is agreeing. Nakula, Sahadeva agreeing. So here we have, on Nakula and Sahadeva, Draupadi, Yudhisthira, and Krishna himself finally, although in the beginning he said he has to be killed, but Prabhupada explains this is just to test Arjuna, test his sense of duty. And Arjuna didn't immediately kill him. And then later on, after Draupadi spoke, after Yudhisthira spoke, then Krishna changed his position. Well, he will change. We'll see here. But it's mentioned here that Krishna agreed and Nakula Sahadeva agreed. So, but Bhimsen, he was the only one left. He disagreed. He kept his position. He remained in his position. He wasn't convinced. And someone is maybe like that. There may be 10 people who think like that, one may not think, and if it's a very serious matter and they've weighed it up within their own minds very seriously, then they think themselves very justified, and actually they are justified, then there's their right to be in that position. And the others also have weighed it up, considering all the different points, and they've come to their conclusion. So what to do now? Arjuna was perplexed. So now Krishna is going to speak. And Prabhupada mentions here that Krishna is referred to Chaturbhuj, the four-armed one. Now Krishna, we know he is manifesting with the two arms, but we know that Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, they have the four arms. So how is it that Krishna is addressed as the four-armed one? Now, Prabhupada explains it very interestingly, quoting from Sridhar Swami, in a very literal way, that Krishna, at that point in time, decided to manifest four arms. because he had to come in between Bhimsena, who was moving forward, wanting to kill him, and the others who were trying to protect him, and Prabhupada puts it that way. We can imagine Bhim ready to kill while Draupadi was obstructing Bhim. But then Krishna had to come in the middle, and he had to have the four arms to come in the middle of everyone. But then he goes on to explain that Krishna, in his Vishwarupa form, has many thousands of arms, and if Krishna wants, he can have many millions of arms. We know Lord Nisringadeva, when he was fighting with the army of Hiranyakashipu, all of a sudden manifests so many arms. So it's Krishna, being the supreme original personality of Godhead, from whom all other expansions come, he expands himself in the Vishnu form and in so many other forms, and in those forms manifests so many different features and so many arms. So Prabhupada explains it in that way, that it is not wrong that he is addressed as Chaturbhuj. Certainly Krishna can manifest so many arms, and not only that, but he explains it in a literal sense, that it must have been that Krishna manifests four arms at that particular point in time. He manifests four arms, he found another two arms, he puts it like that. Therefore, one who can display hundreds and thousands of arms can also manifest four whenever needed. This is the Krishna Loka is far, far above the Vaikuntha planets. So whatever is needed. So Krishna comes for different reasons and enacts different pastimes. Just like today is the appearance day of the Ramanujacharya. Mm-hmm. Ramanujacharya of the Sri Sampradaya. The Sri Sampradaya is a very famous Sampradaya in the Vaishnava tradition. We have the four Sampradayas. Sri Sampradaya comes, the Acharya is Lakshmi Devi, Sri Sampradaya. And we have our own Brahma, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, coming from Brahma through Madhvacharya, through Lord Chaitanya. There's our Sampradaya. And then we have the Rudra Sampradaya, or the Acharya, or the original founder is Lord Shiva. And we have Kumara Sampradaya, who are the original founders or the teachers are the Kumaras. So there's all different. Now the Sri Sampradaya is very active still. The Kumara Sampradaya, this was Sampradaya, it's a little bit active. The famous Acharya, Nimbakacharya. This was Kumara Sampradaya was originally, they were instructed by Lord Hansa, the swan incarnation. You know, there was a story of one time the Kumaras had gone to Brahma to ask some questions about different questions, and one section was about how to follow the path of renunciation of sense objects. So they asked some questions that Lord Brahma himself was confused, and he was praying to Krishna how to answer these questions. So Krishna all of a sudden appeared there in his ahamsa, in swan form, to be able to, in a swan form, because the swan is expert to distinguish the milk from the water, to separate the issues. So then Lord Hansa instructed Kumaras and the four Kumaras and Brahma. So from that time, the Kumaras were teaching the instruction. And later on, this Nimbaka, who was a Brahmana, South Indian Brahmana, had gone to one place in the forest to worship Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva said that you should go and receive instruction from the Kumaras who were meditating nearby. So he went there, and the Kumaras instructed him. He was the big acharya. Radha Krishna revealed themselves to this Nimbaka. But the original instructors were the Kumaras. So this is one sampradaya, Kumara sampradaya. Rudra sampradaya, Kumara sampradaya is still not so active, mainly in the... he spent some time in around the Govardhan area of Vrindavan, so a little bit active there, and some other areas of India, a little bit active, that sampradaya. The Shiva sampradaya is not so active, Rudra sampradaya. The Vishnu Swami is the bigger char. Actually, there are three Vishnu Swamis in that sampradaya. Adi Vishnu, three, that was a title. And the three personalities took the position of the Vishnu Swami. And Rudra revealed himself to the original Adi Vishnu Swami. So that sampradaya, that sampradaya is not so active, it's almost extinct. It's still some. So, but the Sri Sampradaya and our Sampradaya, the Sri Sampradaya from Lakshmi and Ramanujacharya is a great acharya, well known acharya in that Sampradaya. He had his headquarters in Srirangam later on. He was born near Chennai, in a place near Chennai, very close to Chennai. But the Sri Sampradaya, they are very active in the, all over the world. And Srirangam, Tirupati, and all the big temples in South India, some also in the north western countries, are under the auspices of the Sri Sampradaya. Lakshmi Devi was revealing herself and giving the instructions to different acharyas, especially the Alvas. This sampradaya comes in the line of the Alvas, South Indian Alvas, who have said that they were incarnations of the different paraphernalia of Krishna. The conch and the shank and the garland and these different saints, South Indian saints. And Nath Muni was the original acharya who put all those teachings of those alvas together and made hymns and texts and so on. He was one of the big acharyas in the Sri Sampradaya before Ramanujacharya. Then after him came Jamunacharya. Jamunacharya, predecessor of Ramanujacharya. Then after Jamunacharya, it was Jamunacharya who asked Ramanujacharya to come to Srirangam and make his headquarters there. Before he was over in Kanchipuram. Have anyone been to these places in India? I've been to Kanchipuram a few times. So we were near Chennai, and he was there, but then he went to Kanchipuram, and his guru at that time was Kanchipurna. Kanchipuram. So, and so they were worshipping the Lord Varadara. There's a big, beautiful deities there, Kanchipuram. So, it's a very famous sampradaya. So, Ramanujacharya came to. Now, he said that Ramanuja means the follower. Ramanuja means the follower of Lord Ram. And Ram Navami is coming up this weekend on Sunday, isn't it? Yeah. So he appeared, and it said that Ramanuja was an incarnation of Lakshman, the brother of Ram, the incarnation of Lakshman, and he grew up. In a Brahmin family, and his father was, I think his father was Keshavacharya, I forget his mother's name. But grew up in the family, went to the traditional school. There's the many stories of Ramanujacharya, we won't say all now, but he grew up in there. He went to the school of Yadava Prakash, but the Yadava Prakash was an impersonalist teacher. And although he was trained in education in so many ways, after some time he didn't like that presentation. He had some confrontations with his teacher in regard to the presentation of the impersonal school of Sankaracharya. And even so much so that Yadav Prakash even thought that he was such an upstart, that he was such a threat, that he plotted to have him killed on the plea of going to some pilgrimage. They were going to kill him and then come back. But Ramanuja found out about it and he left. Came back again. So there's many stories of Ramanujacharya, but he was the big acharya of the Sri Sampradaya. Today's his appearance day. As I said, he came back to Srirangam and made his headquarters there. And he gave many commentaries on the Vedanta and also on the Bhagavad Gita and other works also. We have, when things are going back to the point of things are a little obscure, a little bit confused, what to do, either Krishna himself or the incarnation in the form of acharya or guru comes to allay the confusion or disturbance. So we see here that Krishna himself is going to give his guidance as to what to do in this situation. Just like Arjuna, you remember in Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna became very confused after having come to the battle of Kurukshetra and then ready to fight. Then he saw the others and he didn't want to fight. And then Krishna was instructing him in one way, and then Arjuna became very confused. So in the end, Sishyasteham Salinam Tampapan, he said that I am very confused. All right, you be my guru, I'll be your disciple. Please instruct me. So this is very intelligent. Very, very intelligent. And interestingly, Prabhupada points out here, Krishna was smiling, not in a way that to mock everyone, but just he's detached from everything. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, we become involved in each certain issues, and we identify in a certain way, and we may become, emotional over the course of the events of the issue. And then there's people on the other side who have a different opinion, and also get involved. But Krishna, he is actually detached from everything, and so. When there are different in a situation, there may be different opinions. So then one has to weigh very carefully what to do. We have to give due consideration to many points, and that is especially those who are more educated. On the Brahmana class, Vaishnava class, will consider many points before deciding on the thing. See, Prabhupada always instructed us in that way. Consider very carefully. Think it over 1,000 times before, because you have to consider, because there may be statements on one side that are true in certain ways, maybe statements on the other side that are true in other ways. It's not always easy. Just like the high court judge, he has to decide the cases. So someone who doesn't know about what the law or anything like that, or justice or anything like that, may be looking and thinking, "This is a high court judge. I could do that." Just sit there, someone bring it and decide. Boom. Just decide. I can do that. Well, they wouldn't get such a big salary. Let me go there. I'll decide all the matters. But, to decide justly, properly, weighing all the considerations, you have to be trained. You think that high court judge, all of a sudden, he just went there and sat there? I don't think so. He was a lawyer before. He went through the whole system, maybe defense, maybe prosecutor. So many years. Generally, they take them in this country. They take them from the QC, their QCs, and then after, then the consideration, and then does he know all the points of the law? How well do they make the decisions? One can think, if they don't know anything, they think, oh, anyone can do it. That's like the surgeon is doing the operation. Someone may come, oh, look at this. This is just like a drill. This is a screwdriver. I can do this. What's the big deal? Just come on. Do you have a surgery needs done? Yeah, I know how to use a drill. I'll do it for you. Will you trust that person? Why? No training. Anyone can think so many things. But, in the surgery, you have to be very careful. The slightest millimeter out and that's it. You could lose your whole movement of this arm. Imagine it's some brain surgeon. Oh yeah, well, he's just using a drill. And when you look at them, that's what they are. But, you know, that this highly skilled training. Judge, highly skilled training. You know. So similarly, Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, they're highly trained. And they have to consider all the points very carefully. And then make a decision. So Krishna was going to give some indication to Arjuna, and we'll read how Arjuna, being very intelligent, picked up immediately, and then some compromise. Now in these situations generally, when there's so many on one side, so many on the other side, depending on the issue, but generally, and we'll find here that Arjuna makes a compromise decision. Sometimes compromise decisions are not good. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes a decision has to go one way, but then the other party will be very unhappy. So be it. If someone is the murderer, then you have to make the decision. But then he's in a high Brahmin family, the son of the teacher. And then his father was also killed. There are all sorts of extenuating circumstances. So anyway, here we find that Arjuna will make the decision, and then we'll also read that everyone is actually satisfied with that decision. So this is a very complicated situation. All right, I'll read this verse again if anyone has any question or comment. Chaturbhuja, the four-armed one, or the personality guided, after hearing the words of Bhima, Draupadi and others, saw the face of his dear friend Arjuna and began to speak as if smiling. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prakash. Oh, well, that's a big question. How strictly is it the teachings of Ramanujacharya being followed now? It's a big question, because there's a lot of temples and
high. When we had the power of the world religion, yeah, there was a sannyasi that came from the Ramanujacharya, and he was quite a prominent acharya.
Mm.
And from his teachings, it seemed like that there was an impersonalist tinge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, has that somehow, from your experience of dealing with people, has that Mayavada influence come back into that sampradaya?
Well, I don't think, when you go to the temples in Sri Rangam and then Tirupati, these places are there. To me, I mean, I'm not an expert in the Sri Sampradaya, nor am I involved in their inner dealings or philosophy or practical applications. So I would not like to say, really, but from what I've seen, at least in the temples now, they seem to be following strictly as far as the procedure, but as far as the philosophy that you refer to, I can't really make a comment on that, and so I shouldn't make a comment on it, actually, because I'm not in the position. You have to be situated in the workings of that, of the Sri Sampradaya, to be able to give a very kind of knowledgeable comment on it. So always in groups, and in ISKCON as well, and in our Sampradaya as well, there's always going to be some who say something that perhaps is not strictly in accordance to the original teachings of the acharyas. There's always going to be that influence, and of course then the argument will be that, well, these are strictly in accordance with the original, and then someone's going to say, oh, well, no, they're not. So, but there's always going to be differences of opinion, and then the majority of very senior Vaishnavas have to sit and discuss these issues, because the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is very big. And just like we see here, just in this particular instance, there's many different views on it. So the philosophy is very big. So everyone's going to have an opinion that may be different from the other person. So therefore, there needs a lot of discussion by the Vaishnava devotees on different points. And in that sampradaya, I don't want to really comment whether someone is. Any other question? Comment? Yes.
When you were mentioning about the Chief Justice making decision, can you say Super Soul is making decision?
On the Chief Justice?
Super Soul is actually guiding the Chief Justice.
Well. Well, if someone is a pure devotee, the super soul, then the connection between that pure devotee and the super soul is very strong. And Prabhupada did say on occasion that, yes, super soul is directly instructing and directly telling me on so many occasions instructing. But whether you can say some ordinary chief justice here in Melbourne is getting a direct guidance from the super soul, I don't think you can make that comment. I don't think so. But super soul is there directing the general wanderings of everyone according to their karma. But in specific situations, the super soul, because the person is not a very on the path of devotional service, he doesn't directly or specifically give guidance. He is just generally arranging things. But the specific decisions would be up to them, and they're answerable for their. You can't say, oh, the super soul instructed the Chief Justice of the Victoria Supreme Court or something like that. Any other questions? All right. All goes to Prabhupada. Jai. Jai. Jai.